Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. I'm an entrepreneur on my second business, a mentor, an author, wife to a fellow entrepreneur, and mother to a magical little girl. On my podcast, I explore topics that fascinate me that will help you unlock ideas to rise even higher in your life. Myself and my special guests will be talking entrepreneurship and how to build better businesses, organization and figuring out how to get more shit done quicker and smarter, staying in touch with our soul, and how to blend business babies with real babies. Let's jump in to this week's episode. Welcome to this week's episode of The Lorraine Murphy Show. It is, as always, wonderful to have you joining me today. Thank you. So we are, I don't know how this has happened, we're already on LM Life Lesson number 8, which we will be sharing together today. And this week's episode is all about the importance of mentoring. Now, mentoring has been an incredibly powerful force in my life and my career, and it's also one of the topics I get asked most about. So I thought it was very important that I devote an entire episode to the topic of mentoring this week. Now, figuring out how to connect with mentors has been a super helpful skill for me, and there is no way I'd be able to do what I get to do now without the care and also the incredible generosity of dozens of people who, whether they knew it or not, have mentored me over the years. So with today's episode, I want to talk about how mentoring works, how do you get a mentor, how do they help you, and lots of hopefully helpful nuggets and tips that I have picked up over the years that I've been very intentionally seeking to be mentored. So let's jump straight in. First of all, what is a mentor? I thought this would be helpful to touch on as an opener for this episode. And how I describe, and obviously there's going to be lots of different interpretations to what a mentor is. For me, I describe it as someone who has done or is doing something that you want to do. So I see it as someone who's traveled the road that I want to go on, and that they can therefore help me by reflecting on their own experience, spotting the potholes, pointing out shortcuts, essentially saving me making the mistakes that they made, and also piggybacking on the decisions that they made that were successful for them, whether that was life or business. So for me, I try and keep it super simple, as you guys know, keep it simple, stupid, KISS philosophy as much as I can. And that is how I would describe a mentor. Now, I did just want to touch on the difference between a mentor and a coach, because for many years, I didn't understand that difference myself. And I guess I'm sitting in kind of a not unique position, but I'm sitting in a certain position whereby I'm kind of crossing over the two. So as I mentioned, for me, I see a mentor as someone who has been there, done that, can teach me how to do it. And so they've really walked that path themselves. So when I talk to them, they will know, they're not exactly, but they will have a rough idea of what it is I'm experiencing or the challenges I'm going through or things I'm trying to figure out. The difference then is a different idea is a coach. So a coach is someone who will generally work with a certain kind of toolkit of models and frameworks. And that person can coach not anyone, but they can coach a pretty broad cross-section because they're not necessarily someone who's been there and done that themselves, but they're relying more on their tools and their experience of coaching the people they've coached before. And of course, also tapping into their own life experience as well. So I guess where I see myself now is a bit of a crossover because a lot of the people I do mentor are entrepreneurs. However, a lot of the people I see in my training programs, my online programs as mentoring as well. So people coming through Create Academy, Step Into You, the different programs that I do, the LM Love Club, I haven't necessarily walked their path, but I've built up enough of breadth of experience and enough tools now that I'm pretty confident that I can help them work through whatever their challenges are, whatever goals that they're trying to achieve. So I just wanted to, I know that focused on me for a minute. However, I just wanted to draw that distinction between a mentor and a coach and how some people will actually cross over to both. What I will say also is that mentoring will generally be unpaid. Obviously, the mentoring I do is paid, and that's because I see myself as crossing over more into the coaching sphere now as well. But yeah, it's not necessary that you would need to pay mentors generally, whereas with a coach, you would expect to pay. You would expect to go into their coaching program or sign up for a certain package of sessions or however they might work. So that's how I see a mentor, and I guess what their role is in their mentee's life, a mentee being someone who's mentored by someone. Now, something I wanted to really underline as I kick into this episode fully is that mentors don't need to know you exist. I know that sounds batshit crazy, but I am mentored by so many people who don't even know Lorraine Murphy exists. And what I mean by that is I read their email newsletters, I listen to their podcasts, I might go to events that they're speaking at, I might do their online programs. There's so many people who kind of occupy that space for me. And to give you examples, definitely Oprah, Brené Brown, Tony Robbins. I mean, I went to see him speak a few years ago, but there was, I think, 3,000 people in the room. Two or three, I can't remember. Glennon Doyle, who's my author mentor, but she doesn't even know it. Liz Gilbert, who I did actually get to meet very, very briefly a few months ago. So my point here is that we can be absorbing the experience and the knowledge and the ideas and the kind of opportunities that a mentor will share, but it doesn't necessarily need to be a two-way interaction. So we can just tune into them and the content that they're putting out there. And don't forget tuning into their energy as well via their content. So whether that's social media, it's their emails, it's their podcast, it's hearing them speak, doing online programs. And it really does, I think when we take that reframe on mentoring, it opens up a whole world of possibility. Because what I'm saying is I can be mentored by Tony Robbins. Now, Tony Robbins isn't going to know I exist, and I am definitely not saying that doing an online program or watching a live stream of Tony Robbins is going to be the same thing as, you know, me being with him one-on-one in a room. However, I can still learn a huge amount from him. So I do just want to touch on that. I think it's a very, very important point to make. So I guess when we're thinking about mentors and we say we want to get some more mentors on board, or we want to get a mentor for the first time, I think what's really important to do is to put together a bit of a target list. So I will generally, for me anyway, my experience has been that I will be following someone or I'll meet someone at an event and I go, oh my God, I want to learn more from them. They're amazing. So that might be that I buy their book, or I get to, you know, I ask them for a coffee and they, if I'm lucky, they say yes, and then it goes from there. So I think the important thing is to be very focused and targeted on who it is that you want to ask to be a mentor, and remembering that the best mentors are the people who are doing what it is that you want to do. So whether that's becoming a parent, maybe it's becoming a parent and you have your own business. Maybe it's starting your own business. Maybe it's writing a book. There's so many different things that we could want to do, or, you know, have a great marriage or a really great relationship, or be a great parent. So what's really useful is that, you know, I think a lot of people say, oh, I want to find a mentor, and that's cool. But what kind of, you know, what do you want them to help you with? Because there's any number of people you could ask to be your mentor. And I will get on to asking to be your mentor in a moment. So I think it's really helpful to kind of get down to a bit of a short list of, okay, well, something that I want to learn more about is I want to have a family and I've got my own business. Therefore, who are maybe five people that I could tune into? So when I say tune into, it's not necessarily saying we're going to go, hey, can you be my mentor, please? Maybe it's you want to read their book. Like Emma Isaacs, for example, is a great example of someone who sits within that kind of mentor, who speaks to that experience, and her book Winging It is amazing. You could follow her on Instagram. So there's lots of different ways that we can be mentored without the mentor necessarily knowing we exist. So I think getting to that target list is really important, and it also means that we're a lot more intentional about going on this mentoring journey. Because I do think, and I have seen this, I'm sure I've done it myself at points as well, where someone says, oh, I just want a mentor, as if they just kind of want to tick a certain box for their annual goals. And they'll go and just ask someone to be a mentor. I'm not saying it's going to be anyone, but they're going to ask someone. And there's not much intention to it, or much commitment to it either. So I think being very intentional about who it is you want to be your mentor and what it is you're actually hoping to learn from them, like sitting down and writing down, okay, I want this person to be my mentor because I want to learn X, Y, or Z from them. So getting really, really intentional about that. Now, which brings me on to asking someone to be your mentor. Do not do this. Do not ask someone to be your mentor. And I thought it was funny. I was listening back. It was obviously from the archives. Oprah having lunch with Sheryl Sandberg, who's the COO of Facebook, and she's the author of Lean In. If you haven't read it, please read it. And they were talking about the importance of mentoring. And they talk about this again, you know, just Don't ask someone to be your mentor, please. And Cheryl draws the comparison between if you go on a first date with someone and straight away they ask you to marry them and you're like, whoa, man, I don't even know, you know, your surname. I don't know if you're a messy eater. I don't know anything about you. And you're asking me to marry you. Like, what the hell? And you pretty much run screaming for the hills. So what I would say, if we're thinking about this in terms of dating, we don't want to ask someone to be our mentor, especially on a first date, first coffee meeting. So instead, what I like to do is, first of all, to send someone a handwritten note saying I really admire what it is you're doing, whether it's in business or whatever it might be. And I would love to take you for a coffee if you would be interested in that. So that's my preferred. Obviously, it's a bit weird to send someone that you sit in an office space with. I know I used to lean a lot on a guy called Mark Ryan. He was the CEO of the agency that we sublet. Well, no, we were in co-working space together. And I leaned on him a lot, particularly around hiring salespeople and running a sales team. And then they moved into their own office space and we ended up subletting space from them in their new office because my team got too big for the co-working space. So I leaned on Mark a lot. So obviously it would be a bit freaking weird if Mark arrives in and there's a stamped envelope on his desk that's come in the post and it's from me who sat like three desks away. So you judge the level of appropriateness yourself. You will know from my episode recently around practicing gratitude that the power of a thank you card and particularly that, you know, overall the power of a handwritten note, it's really, really quite incredible. So that's been an avenue that I have explored before. And then it's asking them for a coffee. I mean, right now we're still sitting in a position where we've got some social restrictions and not everyone is venturing out on meetings just yet. So it could be asking for a phone call with that person. What I would say, I mean, there's probably lots I could say around how to fashion that initial introduction, whether it's an email or a handwritten note or an Instagram DM. And so first of all, not asking them to be your mentor. First of all, rule one. And the other thing is to keep it brief. You know, they don't need to know your full life story in this initial introduction. That said, giving them enough of an idea of you that they know, I mean, if I was writing an initial introduction to a mentor, what I'd be trying to get across is who I am and what I, you know, what I'm trying to achieve in my life, why I see them as being an awesome mentor. Also, what I'm going to bring to the table, like I'm committed, I take on ideas quickly and I'm open for feedback, you know, almost like selling yourself as a mentee is really, really helpful as well. But obviously you're not asking me to be your mentor. It's a coffee. And the other thing, and this is something that I like my mentees to do, particularly if it's someone that I'm just having an initial coffee with to help them with something, which are very, very few and far between nowadays, is to say, look, I'm going to have questions ready to go. Like I've got 5 questions I want to ask you. Would you be okay if I take you for a coffee or give you a phone call someday at a time that suits you? And I get to ask you those questions. And the great thing about that is it piques their interest. And also it shows that you're bloody committed and you're also going to take their time and your own time seriously. And I do want to really touch on that for a moment around the taking the mentoring seriously. So that is coming to your sessions, first of all, on time. It's meeting them either at a time or at a place that suits them. You know, you're working around them here. I've had a couple of people approach me for coffees to bring me on to something else, pick my brains in the past. And, you know, they're late or they're just being a bit kind of fussy and I don't actually see it. It goes through my team. And AJ or Michelle might say, whoa, this person's being a bit challenging. Like, what's the dynamic here? And I'd say, I'm meeting them to help them because they've just moved from overseas and they need some help getting their network established or something like that. And I'm just like, look, if it's too hard, I say to the team, just leave it. Don't worry about it. So yeah, showing that you're committed, that you're going to work around their time and you appreciate that their time is very, very valuable and treating that as being front of mind through every interaction that you have with them, I think is really, really important. So reaching out for the initial coffee, we get the initial coffee or the initial phone call. And at that point, we do not say, will you be my mentor? We are very diligent. We ask the questions. We take on their feedback. And then at the end, we say, if this is true, this was super, super helpful. Is there any way, you know, would you be happy to do this again in a couple of months' time? And just leaving it super, super easy breezy. We are not we're not desperate in the dating scene. We're easy breezy. And we don't place pressure on that person. And that goes a hell of a long way, I can tell you from personal experience. So, and then at that point, so you've had your first chat And then it's about the follow-up. So again, harking back to my practicing gratitude LM life lesson, it's about sending the thank you card or the small thoughtful gift. I mean, you can make it an elaborate gift if you want to, but I always like to tread a line with relationships that I'm still new to, not to send them something super expensive that's going to make them feel obligated, I think is the right word, or to feel embarrassed, like, oh my God, they've just sent me a $400 bottle of wine and I just had a 30-minute coffee. You know, if that's your style, go for it. And especially if you're in the wine business, that makes sense. And however, I like to, yeah, send them something, maybe a $50 to $100 gift. That's thoughtful and ideally harks back to something that we talked about in our chat. So it's an easy breezy. Can we do this again sometime? That's a really, really, really nice approach. And always following up with thank yous. And I'll, you know, I'm looking at Wade, not looking at Wade physically right now, but with Wade and his business, he's had an unofficial mentor for the last 2 years in his business. They met at an event. Wade then asked, could we go for coffee? They went for coffee. This guy at the time was the CEO of a multi-billion dollar revenue a year business. And I think just liked Wade, like got on with him, saw what they were trying to achieve, loved the fact that they were trying to make a positive difference in the world. And they just went on to have coffees. Devin is his name, and his wife came to visit us in the Gold Coast a couple of years ago when we lived there. We've been to their house for dinner. They came to our house again for dinner. And a really positive friendship has sprung up between Wade and Devin. And it's been really, really special to see. And what I have seen Wade at every point do in his interactions with Devin, and remembering that we've been working together at home for 3 months now, so I hear and see a lot of these interactions, he is just so respectful of Devin's time. He takes on board Devin's ideas and he runs with them and he feeds back, you know, what works, what doesn't work. And I think a big question I get is like, well, why would anyone mentor me for free? You know, their time is so valuable, which is obviously true. And I think back to my days in the Remarkables group when I started a board. So I decided I wanted to start an advisory board of three people who I called them the grey hair, which they didn't like. They were a bit older than me, had a lot more experience than me, a lot more mature than me. And I approached each of them and said, look, I'm starting this board. Would you be open to giving me an hour of your time each month to come sit in the boardroom and help me with my business, essentially? And again, just kind of going back to the model that I've just talked you through in this episode, I identified my gaps in the business. And right back then, it was definitely relationships with media agencies who were a really key potential sales partner for us in the business. And also building my personal brand in the industry and understanding sales and the commercials, like the full on, like what do we need to be reporting on each month? What do I need to be understanding in my own business? And I identified three people who I had. I mean, Mark, who I already touched on from the Office Space, is one of them. Another was Mike Wilson, who was the chairman of the agency I had left to start my business, the Remarkables Group from. And another one was Marina Goh, who had built a very, very powerful personal brand in the publishing industry in Australia, and was also a mom of two kids at a very, very different age. She had teenagers, almost grown-ups. And at the time I was thinking, you know, I wanted to start a family one day, and I thought it would be really helpful to have someone like her in my world. And someone else who I added in a bit later was an amazing woman called Claire Jennifer, who is an entrepreneur who had scaled her business very, very quickly and also was a mother as well. So they were the people I approached, and I would gather them for a board meeting every month for an hour. And in preparation for that board meeting, I would prepare a 2 to 3 page board report, which was very, very concise, very clear, spelled out everything that they needed to know and nothing that they didn't need to know. What I would also do in preparation for that 1 hour session, and I would flag this in the board report, is 2 discussion points that I wanted to take them through. So generally I would take them through the board report for 30 minutes, answer any questions they had. Then we would have about 20 minutes for me to talk through my 2 discussion points, and then 10 minutes to wrap up, me to take any actions, plan the next meeting, all that kind of thing. So what I see with Wade is how seriously he takes Devin's time as well. So it's being very aware of, I don't want to say the power dynamic, but I mean, we are going to make the assumption that their time is probably more valuable than our time is right now. And it's really running the relationship to be very, very mindful of that. And when I did start that board, some of my friends were just amazed, friends who also had their own businesses were amazed that I wasn't paying these people. They were like, you know, what are they getting out of this? They go and sit in a room with someone who's so wet behind the ears, like, what are they getting from it? And I can tell you, and I did actually talk to my board about this a few times, and I know myself now as someone who mentors. So what the mentor gets out of it, it's that sense of contribution. You know, when you have achieved something, whatever it is in your life, I think for a lot of us who want to give back, we do want to help other people. You know, we want to extend the ladder down behind us, essentially. So I think that sense of contribution that a mentor gets is awesome. Also the sense of fulfillment. You know, you share an idea with someone, a mentee, and they go and run with it and they get great results and they give you feedback. Like, that's awesome. It's almost better than actually having the achievement, if not better than having the achievement yourself. And the other element as well is it's seeing their ideas put into practice, and that sense of, oh, they're actually listening, I'm adding value. You know, everyone wants to be valuable, everyone wants to help, everyone wants to be heard and be seen. And I think that's a huge part of what mentors get out of things as well. And also it's fun. If I look at Devon and his approach to Wade's business, like, he has run a multi-billion, he's now stepped back from that role, but he's run a multi-billion dollar a year business. So I think he looks at Wade's business and it's almost like a toy car almost. And I'm not taking away from Wade's business. They've built an incredibly successful business. But I think Devon just looks at it and he's used to such a level of complexity, and he looks at Wade's business and can straight away see, okay, this is a problem. This is a problem. You guys are doing this really well. You should do more of that. And it's fun for him because there's no investment. You know, he is invested now in financially, but for a long time he wasn't. So it's just fun to get to come up with ideas. And also it's easy because for a mentor, often their comfort zone has stretched so far beyond what your comfort zone is that the stuff that, I mean, I think back to the stuff that I used to keep me up all night when I see my board and they go, nah, this is nothing. I've got real problems. You know, this is what's going on. And I go, oh, wow. And it kind of normalizes your problems in a way as well. So I guess what I want to say in a kind of a long-winded way there is that mentors do get a huge amount out of mentoring if the mentee approaches it properly. So being mindful of the mentor's time, implementing the ideas, giving feedback. You know, if something works, tell them. If something doesn't work, tell them. Just creating that positive, that feedback loop, I guess, is really powerful. And also, yeah, just that sense of being, you know, having your shit together, having your questions ready to go. What I would do with my board is we would book in all the board meetings for the whole 12 months ahead. I mean, I think once I had them all there because they were always so busy and traveling and very, very important people. However, the meetings were booked in for the whole year, which also increased the chances of me actually getting them in the room because, you know, very generously, they would actually say no to some things so that they could actually attend the board meeting with me and the other board members. So I think that sense of fulfillment, that sense of connection, and I mean, I would imagine this goes out without saying, but I do want to touch on it here. The most important thing when you're being mentored is to be coachable. And I didn't have any mentors in my business for the first kind of 6 months. I then joined the Entourage, and Jack became an incredible mentor, as well as some of the other team members there. But no one wants to mentor someone who's uncoachable. And I can pick that pretty quickly now when I'm mentoring myself with potential mentees. You know, someone who already thinks they know it all, who isn't open to new ideas, you know, that's going to be a very, very short-lived mentee-mentor relationship. So being coachable, above all, I think is really, really important. The other thing I wanted to touch on as part of this LM life lesson around mentoring is just the importance of having a suite of mentors. You know, there's very few people who, if anyone, there's going to be one person who's going to tick all the boxes for everything you want to do and learn about in your life. It's probably more likely that you'll have maybe a handful of 3 to 5 people who you want to learn from. So don't shy away from having multiple people. You know, you're not cheating on anyone, but having multiple people that you're in touch with that you can lean on when you do have questions or challenges, I think is really important because it's almost like expecting our partner, like our romantic partner, to be our village. You know, no one person can be an entire village for any other person. So having a suite of mentors, even if that suite's 2 or 3 people, and God, if you've got 2 people, you're doing really, really well. And I think is really, really helpful to remember as well. And it also increases the chances of you getting mentored. You know, if you've got this target list or this hit list or dream list of people that you would love to be mentored by, and you're just trying to doggedly pursue just one of those people, if there's maybe five people on that list, it's a lot more likely that one of those people is going to say yes to having a coffee with you or answering a few questions via email or catching up with you on the break of this event that you're both going to next year or whatever it might be. And the other thing I thought it was really, really, really important to touch on as part of this episode is the importance of peer-to-peer mentoring. So what I mean by that, it's not necessarily someone who has, you know, they're 10 years down the track of doing whatever it is that you want to do. They may be doing the same thing that you're trying to do right now, but there's really, really massive benefit in that. And the reason for that is Napoleon Hill, in his book Think and Grow Rich, talks about the idea of when we join a mastermind and we get together with someone else, even if it's just one other person, we essentially create a third brain. So we've got our brain, their brain, and in interacting and talking and figuring problems out together, we actually create a third brain. So you've got three brains trying to solve a problem rather than just your brain on its own banging its head against a brick wall trying to figure something out. So I think with peer-to-peer mentoring, and I also want to say, I think particularly for women, I think peer-to-peer mentoring is so valuable because women, we figure things out by talking through them. And a problem that a lot of men run into with women is that when women share a problem, the man just wants to rush in with a solution and go, okay, well, this is what you should do. And it's really, really frustrating as a woman because you don't need the solutions. You just want them to hear you out so that you can straighten your own thoughts, bounce a few ideas off them and actually figure it out by yourself. This has been one of myself and Wade's biggest lessons, for him not to jump in with the life raft and try save me from a problem. It's just to hear me out and ask some questions, and then ultimately, 9 times out of 10, I figure it out myself anyway. And I'm sharing this with you. This morning, I went for a walk with Stacey, who's an incredible health coach who runs very, very, very successful online programs and memberships around the health space. She's awesome. You may have seen her pop up on my Insta or Facebook at some stage. And we had, before we went into ISO, we were having a weekly walk where we'd walk for an hour around our area. She lives maybe a 10-minute walk from me. And we would just chew the fat, talk about what's happening in our lives and our businesses. She's also a mom, obviously running an online business. We've got a lot in common, and just talk through things. And this morning I went for a walk with her. We hadn't done it since the start of ISIS. It was really cool too. I think we walked for almost an hour and a half this morning. It was brilliant. And we're talking, and I'm talking about what's going on in my life and her life. And something that I'm figuring out at the moment in my business is paid social media ads. And it's something I haven't ventured into. I've done a very, very tiny toe in the water to get people on a webinar a few months ago, and I haven't gotten into it. And it's something that Stacey does very, very well. So I asked her so many questions, and I just came back with such a spring in my step, with a clear plan, just feeling super motivated. And it's not that Stacey is, as I said, 10 years further down the track than me. She's just doing it a bit better than me right now. Maybe a lot better. Probably a lot better. But I've got stuff I can share with her, and she's got stuff she can share with me. So that peer-to-peer mentoring as well, I think, is really, really valuable. And we don't always have to go chasing, you know, no offense to the people with the gray hairs, you know, to mentor us. We can actually get a lot of support and a lot of ideas and connection and third brain from the people who we would see as our peers. So I feel like I just talked at speed during that episode. I feel like for all of these episodes as part of the LM Life Lesson season, I could probably do an entire day on each topic. So it's been really hard to kind of keep it to the top line and make sure that I'm delivering hopefully the very, very best bits and the things that are going to move you forward most within each of these episodes. So I hope those ideas, tips, my own personal experiences around mentoring are helpful. And as I said at the very outset, mentoring is one of the things that has been most instrumental for me in definitely starting and running a business, for sure, and also leading a team, getting myself more skilled up on the financials, and now more recently running an online business, getting book deals, all of those things. Having mentors has been absolutely instrumental, and actually recording this episode is made me, I guess it's kind of lit a spark in me to go out there and find some new faces that I can be mentored by, whether they know it or not, of course. So I really hope this week's episode has been helpful. And as always, I love to hear your feedback. Send me a DM on Insta, drop me an email. And yeah, always love to hear from my beautiful listeners. So until next week, I will say goodbye. Thank you for being part of this week's episode. It was remarkable to have you. I am always keen to hear your thoughts, questions, ideas, and suggestions for future topics, for the podcast. So please get in touch on Instagram. My handle is at Lorraine Remarks, and through my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au. If you're enjoying what I'm putting out here, please do rate, review, or subscribe to the podcast so more people can find out about it and we can build this special community. Or even better, do all three. Chat to you next week.